Hello, listeners, and welcome to the first, or should I say the pilot, episode of the Real Game Talk. I'm your host, Daniel Lima, and in fact, I'm the only person who's going to be talking to you today. In fact, I'm the only person who's working on this podcast, at least for now. It was an idea of mine that I wanted to build on my own, and I'll be doing everything from speaking, from writing the script, you know, looking for the news, talking to you, the listener, and editing and sharing, hopefully getting more people to listen to it as well. And eventually, if I find necessary, if it fits into the episode theme or whatever, I may bring other people in to join into certain topics, you know, if you'll guess. But as of now, it's just me. So if you're into that kind of podcast, this might be a good one for you. If you're not, I would still recommend checking out, you know, staying along for the ride for at least a little bit to see what it is about. So what it is about, the Real Game Talk is supposed to be a podcast about the video games, yeah, you guessed right. But I won't simply bring a list of news like most video game podcasts do or go into a lot of different topics. It's supposed to be a very focused podcast. You know, in every episode, the idea is that I'm going to choose a few topics from the latest news. You know, it might be, it will usually be, you know, the most polemic topics. And by that I mean, you know, topics that have sparkled a lot of discussion on the internet. You know, maybe a lot of arguments, a lot of different opinions, topics that everybody wants to talk about. You know, even if they aren't as big as other news, you know, if Nintendo comes out and says that they're bringing the new 3DS to the United States, however, they're only bringing the XL version, and it doesn't even come with an AC adapter in it, and then the whole internet rages about that, or some people actually are happy about that, well, that makes it a valid topic for the show. So that's the main idea. You know, we're looking for big things, you know, two or three, or I'm looking, right? I'm the only one. I'm looking for two or three big things every week that are worth talking about, and then I'm going to deliver those news to you, try to delve as deep as I can into them, maybe looking for more information that you might have not seen already, and then giving you my opinion as well. You know, I'll try to bring in as many facts, as many different sides to the story as possible, but ultimately, I'm going to give my opinion as well. You know, that it's me talking here, and I think it would be very hard for me to just give an objective, like, here are the facts. In fact, not only would it be hard, you know, actually, it might even be easier. You know, it might even not be that hard, but it would be way less interesting. You know, it would be way harder to make it interesting, probably. So the idea here is that, as I said, you know, in the Real Game Talk, I'm going to choose a few topics every week that I judge very relevant in the games industry. Even if the topics, even if the pieces of news by themselves are not that relevant, if they sparkled a lot of different relevant opinions by the game fans everywhere, then that makes it for a good topic for the show. At least that's what I hope it is. I'm calling this the pilot episode rather than the first, you know, official episode one or whatever, because I'm gonna put it out there. You know, I really wanted to make this podcast, and I'm gonna take a look at the response I get from it. You know, if anybody listens, I'd be really pleased to hear whatever feedback you have, if it is, you know, good or bad. You know, if you think the podcast is a total failure and that this could never work, feel free to say it. I don't mind. If you think it could work but needs adjustments, that's mostly what I want to hear, actually. And if you think it's as good as it is, then that would make me really happy. Although, I'm pretty sure there's still a lot to work on. In fact, this is my first podcast. I tried doing one in the beginning of last year with a couple friends, but it didn't work out really well. You know, we ended up giving up for a lot of reasons, but this is the first one that I think I'm going to actually go through, and I'm doing it all on my own, as I said, so nothing and nobody can stop me. I've been feeling really motivated recently, and I really wanted to do this, so here I am bringing this to you. If you have any feedback, bring it back to me. If I'm going to see everything that I get, even if it isn't much, and I'm gonna do my best to improve and to make this an actual valuable piece of content for you. I know that in the day we live in, there's so many podcasts out there. Why would you listen to a random guy like me talk about his opinion on a few gaming related news? Well, we'll see. You know, if you like it, tell me. If you don't, tell me. I'll try to make it better. And this is why I'm calling this the pilot episode, because depending on the response, I may actually change it a lot for the what I would call the first official episode. I'm sorry for any kind of stutter that I say along the way. You know, anything that I say wrong in English. English is not my first language, as you might have guessed based on my accent. I normally don't notice my accent until I'm editing the podcast afterwards, and I'm like, oh my god, this sounds awful. But, you know, hopefully you can understand everything. Hopefully it's not that bad, and that it can come along for the ride. All right, so just to finish the intro, I'm going to talk a little bit about me, just so that you have an idea of who the hell is this guy who's talking on my ear right now and thinking he knows a thing about video games. Well, I might not know much, actually, because there's so much to know about video games that I think that no matter how much you study, you're still going to... It's such an immense medium, you know, that's... Even though it's only been around for a few decades, it's already gone so far, you know, and become so big. And especially today, you know, this days, anybody can make a game anywhere. And you see all the time indie games popping up everywhere. You know, I'm actually trying to work on a game of my own. Well, I'm a game development graduate. I graduated from Full Sail University in their game development degree back in 2013. You know, it's a 2-year course that I got into as soon as I finished high school. And after I graduated, I really enjoy the degree. Actually, I'm not here to make any kind of merchandise or sell the university or anything like that. But I did enjoy my degree, and I think I learned a lot. And I actually got a job, and I worked on the game on a game company for a while. And when I say a while, I mean very little. Okay, I literally worked for 5 months in a game company, and then I had to step out, and I got into other stuff. So after that, you know, a lot of people that get out of gaming related degrees, you know, game development related degrees, in fact, They don't really go to game companies. At least from the people I've met, I've noticed that a lot of people end up in the simulation industry, which some even call serious games, and that's totally fine. You know, it's when it comes to the code you're writing, it's not really that different, in my opinion. Obviously, there are a lot of peculiar things that are related to only game development and game design, of course. And then there are other things that are on other kinds of software development. But in the end, for the most part, you're coding in C-based languages, you know, C, C++, C#, for tools mostly. But so I was actually one of the few people that I've met that from the people that graduated with me and a little bit after and a little bit before that worked a little bit in a game company. But it was so little that... You know, I don't even think most people will consider that experience in the gaming industry, and that's totally fine. After that, I got into web development. You know, I've always done some HTML and CSS on the side, and then I taught myself PHP and started working with MySQL databases as well. So I did some websites, some online system stuff for a company that I was working for. And since then, I never really got back into games. This year, you know, one of my resolutions was I really want to get back into the gaming industry. You know, I want to get back into working on my games. But not only that, you know, I want to start putting my opinion out there. I want to start becoming more social. You know, it's very important to be social these days. And when I say social, I don't just mean, you know, the obvious real life implication of the word, which is going out and meeting new people, making new contacts, which is really important. But online social life seems to be really important today as well, you know, and I've been really absent from that. I've been really absent from Twitter and from Facebook and LinkedIn in the past year, and I really want to get back to it. You know, I not only I want to get back to being active on social networks and try to make new connections. I also want to find new ways that I can talk and communicate to people and put my opinion out there and evolve as I do it and learn as much as I can while I do it. And one of the ways that I decided to make that is through this podcast that you're listening right now. I decided that, you know, I'm a big fan of podcasts. I listen to a bunch of podcasts whenever I can. And I'm always, you know, a lot of times when I'm working, you know, if it's not like a very, very thinking required work task, you know, like I can usually do it while I'm listening to a podcast, or, you know, sometimes when I'm just chilling, you know, I get home at night and I chill on the couch and I just listen to a 1 hour podcast or something sometimes. And I really appreciate that. So I thought, you know, well, maybe I could make one on my own, and maybe I would have something new to bring to the table. How could I know if I didn't try it, right? So here I am. I'm trying it. I'm gonna try to make it as good as I can. I know it's way harder than I thought it was. You know, it's a little hard for me to talk, and not even talk in front of a camera, but just the fact that there's a microphone here and that I'm talking and that I know that people are gonna listen to it afterwards. It is kind of nervy, you know. Like this make me a little nervous. I've never been that great at public speaking, and although I'm not directly speaking to a public, indirectly I am doing that. So I do feel like I am doing that in the same way, and they do get nervous the same way. So, as I said, I'm sorry if there's anything wrong, and also I'm sorry for being so apologetic and saying sorry so many times. I know we probably just want to hear what the heck I have to talk about. I just felt like this might be a good moment to make a proper introduction of everything, you know, proper introduction about me, Daniel Lima, in case I didn't say it yet, and in case you didn't see yet, and just explain what the podcast is going to be about. You may not understand it. I'm not sure if I understand it either. In that case, I hope we both understand by the end of this episode. Anyway, I'm going to go take a glass of water, and after the break, we're going to talk about the first topic of this episode. Thank you. So now that the introduction has been taken care of, let's go through our first actual topic of the day. For the first topic of the show, I actually chose a recent piece of news from the game that's in development, an exclusive game for the PlayStation 4. It's none other than Uncharted 4, a game that I'm personally very excited about, although I don't even own a PS4 yet. You know, I don't own any of the new consoles, you know, the consoles that released last year, at least PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. I guess I'm still waiting for, you know, I can't complain about the right price anymore, because there were some recent deals, although not where I live. But I'm waiting for the combination of the right price point with a game that I really want to play being on them for to jump in. But Uncharted 4 is definitely going to be that game if I don't own them yet by the point that it comes out, you know, and there's a higher chance that I'm gonna probably end up buying them this year a little bit sooner. Well, there was a bit of a polemic piece of news recently regarding Uncharted 4, which actually has had a lot of polemic news all throughout its development cycle so far, it seems. Last year with Amy Hennig and a few people leaving the company, then Neil Druckmann and Bruce Straley taking care of the development of the game, you know, and taking over from there. There were a lot of also like graphical differences from initial demos to next gameplay footage and stuff like that. But what happened recently is that the game director, Bruce Straley, gave an interview to the magazine Edge, and he said that the Uncharted 4 demo that was late, the last Uncharted 4 demo that was shown was running at 30 frames per second, and that the game may or may not end up running at 60 as people would expect in the final release. So the exact quote as I got from IGN is, "We're actually above 30, but we locked it." Straley said, quote, "We're going to do whatever it takes to make the game we want to make. If it means we could go to 460 but lose something that would really impact the player's experience, then it's our choice as developers to say, well, we're going to go for the experience over the 60 frames," quote. So, he's trying to make a point here, which I mostly agree with. You know, he's saying that going for the experience or the best gameplay experience, the best gameplay for the player, is a bigger priority over achieving 60 frames per second or the best graphics or whatever. And I totally agree with that. I totally agree that the gameplay is the most important thing. But, you know, a lot of people got a little mad at that. And I actually totally understand, you know, because frame rate also affects, you know, performance. Frame rate is performance. And performance affects gameplay, you know. And he's saying that he'd rather lock it at 30 instead of 60 than harm the player experience. Well, locking it at 30 frames per second for a lot of people is considered harming the player experience. At least that's what I've seen from a lot of people on you know, the IGN comments, on Twitter, on Facebook, just usual avenues for complaints, right? My honest opinion is that, you know, I played Devil May Cry, you know, the remake on PS3 last generation, and that was a good example where the frequent drops in frame rate actually really, really harmed the gameplay. You know, so that's why I judge that a stable, good frame rate is actually very important. But I played through Uncharted 3 and 2-1-1, and I'm not sure about 1, but I know that Uncharted 2 and 3, from my quick research, were running at 30 frames per second for the most part, and I had absolutely no problem playing those games. You know, I didn't think it hindered the performance or my overall enjoyment of the game in any way. That being said, you know, for certain online games that are a little more fast-paced and require more, even faster responses than on those action games, I tend to prefer the higher the frame rate as possible. You know, obviously being stable is better, but, you know, I like to be stable at 60. And a lot of people expect, you know, from those new consoles, a lot more than what it's been shown to us so far. You know, like, people want a good justification for the money that they spend on those machines. And as someone who didn't buy them yet, you know, I want a good justification. It's not to buy them, you know. I want to see good improvement in the games. And to say that the next Uncharted game will be running the same way as the previous Uncharted game in a whole new console that they just spent $400 to buy for most people. And again, I'm saying most of what I'm saying is not necessarily my opinion. I'm just trying to bring up what most people are, what seems to be the general opinion of the vocal commentators in the internet. Is that they want to see that improvement. You know, they don't want to see the same game all over again. That being said, you know, I've watched trailers for Uncharted 4, and I think the game looks absolutely gorgeous, just like I thought, you know, Uncharted 3 and Uncharted 2 look absolutely gorgeous. You know, and obviously it does look better, you know, and it seems like there's a lot more on the screen, that the draw distance is farther and all that. I do think, you know, kind of a very little complaint. I do think it's a little bit too gray, or there's just something missing, you know. Like when I watched the trailers for Uncharted 3, I was actually, even though it may not have looked as awesome as you know, as perfect as well done, and running so well as the new one is, as Uncharted 4 is, I thought it looked way more exciting, you know. When I look at the trailers for and the recent gameplay footage for Uncharted 4, you know, obviously I am extremely hyped for this game because I love everything that Naughty Dog does. And I know it's going to be an excellent game, like pretty much every other game that they have done. I look at the trailer and I'm like, for some reason, it just lacks a soul. You know, it lacks color, it lacks, it lacks interesting things for me. But that's not part, that's not the discussion here, right? The discussion is that, you know, they've announced that the game may not run as well as people expected. You know, the game is still 1 year away, so, you know, whatever, they might get it done in time, but the game director just came out and said to a magazine, you know, that we might not be running the game as good as it would be to give the players the best performance because we don't want to hinder the players' performance and experience the way they experience the game. Well, why the hell did he have to say that is my question now. So, and that's, well, I'm sorry for the big confusion and going through all those digressions and all that, but this is where I was trying to get now. The game is still almost 1 year away. If it doesn't get delayed, right? We've only seen like a little bit of gameplay footage. I think there's only like 20 minutes of gameplay footage available on the internet. So why does the game director, Mr. Bruce, which I absolutely respect, have to right now come out to a magazine and say that the game might not be running at 60 frames per second and that it may have to be locked at 30. I don't think he gains anything from that. I don't think Naughty Dog gains anything from that. In my perspective, they're just coming out and giving people a piece of information that nobody would have cared for unless they gave it to them. You know, like, I doubt that, you know, I mean, I'm sure some people would be, okay, like, one or other person on Reddit or on a blog or something would be like, oh, I'm not sure about the frame rate of this game based on the trailer. But if it wasn't for the guy going on an interview and specifically saying those words, I'm pretty sure there wouldn't be nearly as big a response as there was to this, you know? And even if 1 year from now the game came out and it was indeed, you know, running at 30 frames per second, I'm pretty sure nobody would have cared. Like, most people would have just played the game, had a blast, super happy about it, game of the year, whatever. As long as it was stable and playable and it had good performance. But we're still 1 year away from that. We're a long time away from playing the game. It's, you know, it's on that far future. And you know that 1 year is not that far, but in game time, it seems. You know, there are games coming out all the time. So it seems to me rather weird that and I'm sure it was just, you know, like just a poor choice of words or just the wrong thing to say at the wrong time. You know, maybe he regretted it later, but I just find it very weird that he gave that information right now. You know, we've barely seen the game. We know almost nothing about the game. Why do we need to know right now that the game won't run at whatever the thing people want it to run? This is my biggest question. And I think that developers need to start getting a little bit more smart about those things. You know, they need to start knowing the raging gamer community a little better and know that depending on the things they say, people are gonna pick on that. You know, people are gonna pick that specific quote and just keep bringing it up to harm, you know, to harm the developers and to harm the image of the game. So it's, even, you know, if the game is running at 30 frames per second or less or whatever in their tests right now, they still have 1 year to change that. So in the end, it might, you know, in the end, the game may come out and be running at 60 frames per second still. They may be able to figure something out and get the game to run super well on the PlayStation 4 by the time it comes out. But we still got 1 year before this incomplete information that made people argue about it and say that the game's going to be crap or whatever, and use that as a way to harm the game image. And I've seen that multiple times before. You know, I think developers, when they try to go out and give information about a game yet to be released to the public, of course they need to be honest, but I just think there are certain kinds of information that they don't specifically need to say, you know, until it's extremely necessary. Unless it's very necessary and it's extremely clear, you know. It's the exact frame rate the game will run at by the point it comes out is pretty much unpredictable right now. So I don't see why someone would put that quote out there that is able to sparkle a big discussion and you know, thousands of comments everywhere. That's my opinion on the first topic. I think that as good a developer as Naughty Dog is, as much as I love their games, and I'm sure Uncharted 4 will be a blast, and I have my personal, you know, little problems with it here and there, but I'm still going to buy it. I'm going to buy whatever I have to buy to play it whenever it comes out. I just think that, you know, the people who complain about those things, agreeing or disagreeing, they do have kind of a point, and Naughty Dog doesn't need to give them, you know, Naughty Dog doesn't need to give them the gun for them to fire. The system will not include an AC adapter, however you can use an existing AC adapter from any system in the Nintendo DSi or Nintendo 3DS family, or purchase one separately. Quote, those were the kind words that Reggie Fils-Aimé said during the latest Nintendo Direct that they released, right after they had just announced the new Nintendo 3DS XL coming to North America. Well, there were a lot of polemic details on that particular presentation. You know, to start, there were actually two new 3DS models in Japan, the regular size model and the XL model, in case you didn't know. And everybody was, there were a lot of people, at least, excited to see both of these new models, new 3DS models announced in North America. You know, they had already come to Europe and Australia and a bunch of other territories, and you know, this is the place that was missing. But what surprised everyone is that Nintendo decided to simply skip announcing the new Nintendo 3DS, the regular size one. They didn't even talk about it, and they simply announced the new Nintendo 3DS XL as if nothing else existed, and this was your only new option, your new Nintendo handheld upgrade. Well, why do they do that is an interesting question. Also, what they did after announcing, after talking about all the features of the new portable system, Reggie kind of quickly mentioned, but when making sure to be really very clear, that the system would not include an AC adapter with it, but that you could use your AC adapter that you've carried with you from other portable systems. I don't even have to say that a lot of people were surprised and very annoyed by that. You know, I was very annoyed by that as well. You know, even though I'm still thinking about buying the system, and if I did, I would still have my original 3DS from 2011. I would still have my charger and everything, so it wouldn't be a big deal for me. But I do think it's very at least interesting to see that move from Nintendo, because I think what people haven't talked a lot about, but that I think is interesting to bring up in that sense, is that I think it shows the current Nintendo mindset a lot. And the interesting thing about Nintendo, and the reason why Nintendo is such a fascinating company, is that it's very hard to predict what they would do next. They release a new 3DS in Japan, but then they say nothing about when it's going to come to the US, and they eventually bring it to Europe. And when everybody's expecting it to arrive to America, they bring it to America, but not 100%. It's really interesting to see the way they act sometimes, in a lot of ways. You know, even, you know, the games they will prioritize development on sometimes are very weird choices. In this case of the AC adapter specifically, the AC adapter situation, what I think it tells is that, you know, well, if Nintendo was expecting a lot of new consumers to jump into the 3DS family on this new system, I'm pretty sure they will want to have the AC adapter included, because otherwise that would create a lot of confusion, and that would generate a lot of, you know, support work for them, because a lot of people would buy the system not being informed correctly, and would then be like, whoa, there's not a charger in here. They would tell their friends, they would call Nintendo or call the store, they would complain about it, and I'm sure there would be a lot more issues than there would ever need to be with that system. So I think Nintendo is not afraid of that, because they have come to the realization that probably the percentage of people who buy the new 3DS XL that are not already 3DS owners is very small. I think that's the only reasonable explanation for this, you know? Trying to look at what they did and what was the mindset that took today is that I think Nintendo believes that everyone who's buying the new 3DS XL is upgrading and already has a 3DS. And they're big Nintendo fans, just like I am, by the way. And they want to buy the new system, and they're going to already have all the stuff, and there's no need for another AC adapter. I assume that that's the mindset that they have. But then it's also kind of scary to think that whoever is taking those decisions at Nintendo is using that mindset. Because that means that they're not really targeting new consumers anymore. That means that they're not targeting new people jumping into their portable market. They're assuming that they've reached, you know, they kind of peaked. And of course, you know, like, everything that I'm talking is not 100%, you know, that even if they do have kind of that mindset, they obviously recognize the exceptions, and I do as well. You know, I'm not saying that, oh, everybody who's going to buy the new 3DS XL already has a 3DS. I'm just saying that what it seems like is that Nintendo believes that the majority of people who are buying it already own it. Therefore, they don't need to include the AC adapter. But that also means that they're not that worried about the new consumers. That they believe that in a way they peaked, and that their market has already been that everyone who would want a 3DS already has one at this point, and that they would simply be upgrading to the new one that they're putting out. It doesn't seem like they're trying to increase their audience. They just want to keep it and make sure they buy the new version. Or at least that's what the moves tell me. You know, in my opinion, obviously, this is all my evaluation of the situation with the little information that we have. So I just find it particularly, you know, fascinating to think that they might have reached, you know, that point where they're like, well, you know, probably everyone who's going to buy our products are people who already own them, and they're just, you know, big fans, so they're going to buy a new one. We don't even have to include an AC adapter on it. Now, let's go back to the other issue with this announcement, which I already cited, that led also a lot of people mad and made me surprised, is the fact that there were two models in Japan. Both were brought to Europe, and only one of them got into the United States. So, why would they do that? You know, let's go back a little bit. When they announced both models in Japan, why did one of them have features that the other didn't? You know, so the new Nintendo 3DS XL obviously has the advantage of being bigger. Of being bigger, which most people consider more ergonomic, and having a bigger screen. A lot of people are used to that now. A lot of people have been playing the XL systems for a while, and they like that. So that's the advantage of that one, at least for those who like it. And what was the advantage of the smaller one? They released a little special features that were only present on the small new 3DS in Japan, because it's never going to come out here, or it doesn't seem like it, at least. There are various little things, you know, but the button layout and the different colors and the different things with the layout of the system itself, but the faceplates are the big thing, right? Being able to swap the plastic around your 3DS and buy different plates with different colored characters and stuff with all kinds of images so that you could customize your 3DS to look like you want it to look. You know, you could, you're a big Pikmin fan, you could go and buy a Pikmin faceplate and put it on your 3DS. So whenever you're playing your 3DS, everybody will see that you love Pikmin. That sounded like a kind of simple, kind of stupid, but very cool little feature, you know. I was particularly excited to upgrade since I have the very original 3DS from 2011. And I wanted to upgrade for the new one. The new one on the small model, because I'm already used to a small 3DS. You know, I don't need that the bigger screen. I'm already accustomed to the one I have. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna get the small one, and I'm really happy for the whole faceplate thing. You know, I'm just gonna buy whatever the faceplates that I find really cool, and I'll be able to swap them. And I thought that was a really, you know, nice feature, and I also like the layout a little bit better. You know, in general, I actually like the layout of the smaller models better than the bigger ones usually. But why do they make that in the first place? You know, like why do they make the faceplates only for the small 3DS and not for the XL when they designed the thing in Japan back in the day? So I'm sure that. I don't know if they ever officially said the reason. I don't know. I didn't find it. I don't know if any engineers out there think that there's an actual physical reason for them to do it. Oh, the way the new 3DS XL's design would make it impossible to put a faceplate in there like they did on the small one. Well, if there is a reason like that, I don't know. There might be, you know. And if there is, everything I'm going to say, you can disconsider it, you know? You don't need to consider it for the next few minutes, unless, you know, the rest is fine. But I actually think that after the XL model got released, everybody who bought, you know, most people who bought a new 3DS were going for the XL model, you know? And that nobody was buying the original one. And because Nintendo wanted to keep both pillars selling, you know, because they wanted to keep both the XL version and the regular version selling, they added a small little, you know, a couple little things to the small one that the XL wouldn't have, so that they could keep both systems healthy in the market. So that, you know, even if the small one sold less than the Excel, you probably still have a spike in sales, and they'll sell the faceplates. So it seemed like a very smart way to make money, actually, and to make sure that both systems are stable, have stable sales in the market, and that both systems are giving a return back to Nintendo. You know, I have a friend who recently bought a 3DS XL, you know, not the new one, and just a regular Nintendo 3DS XL. And it was his first 3DS, he didn't have one before. And this guy is a good friend of mine. He's not a big, hardcore Nintendo fan. You know, like, he likes Nintendo games for the most part, but he doesn't follow everything. You know, I follow way more stuff than him. And when I told him, when I was talking to him about this piece of news, I was like, can you believe that they brought, you know, the new 3DS XL to America, but they didn't bring the regular one? Guess what he's responding? He was like, oh, of course, who cares for the regular one? The XL is so much better. And I obviously disagreed, because I really appreciate the regular model as well. But that made me think, you know, that made me reflect a little bit and think that, well, maybe that's true. Maybe since the Excel model came out, specifically in the American market, you know, maybe the regular 3DS sales fell so much that led them to believe, which is probably a true belief, by the way, that it's not worth bringing the smaller model, because people in America would not be interested. Maybe the XL, the 3DS XL sales were so much better than the original 3DS ones that made them realize, well, nobody cares about the original 3DS. Let's not waste our money in, you know, marketing, localization, and distribution with this other model. Let's just focus our efforts on marketing the new 3DS XL, because that is what Americans like. And besides it probably being what Americans like, well, they already have, you know, their sales numbers for Japan and for Europe, for Australia, for all the territories where both options are available. So maybe, in the end, it didn't work as well as they expected, you know? Maybe the XL is selling super well, and maybe the regular model didn't. Maybe the regular model never caught up. So, I really appreciate Nintendo, and I think it's very interesting to look at the things that they do and try to figure out, you know, try to reverse engineer, in a way, what kind of mindset that led them to take those decisions. Because even though they make quirky stuff sometimes, you know, I believe there's always a logic. And that doesn't mean that I got the logic right, you know, that it's just my interpretation. But that's one possible interpretation based on the facts that I have seen. Well, guys, that's about it for today's show. I tried to keep it at around 40 minutes. That will make things a little bit easier on the editing side, I believe. I didn't want my first show to be very long, because I'm still not absolutely sure about how the format should be like, but that's the idea. You know, I chose two topics for today. I think the intro was longer than it normally would be on the next show, so that could kind of count as a topic as well. I guess we can normally do two or three, maybe four, depending on how many interesting news or news worth talking about are on the week. What I consider a piece of news that's worth talking about may be different than what you would consider, you know, so it depends a lot on if I feel like I have something new to bring to the conversation about it. You know, if I see something that's already being discussed over and over, and that it feels like everything has been covered, I'm probably not going to bring it up. In this case, both of those topics, I felt like there were some specific points that I was trying to make with Uncharted 4 and how sometimes the developers talk more than they should be talking about the game, and what Nintendo just how interesting it is to try to figure out, you know, what leads to the decisions that this company takes, and that maybe, you know, that there were actually very rational reasons for them to do what they did. And it's just interesting to try to look at that side. Well, if you've listened and enjoyed, I would love to hear your feedback. And if you hated it, I would also like to hear your feedback. So tell me what you didn't like. Tell me what you liked. Tell me what you think should change or what I'm doing really good. And make sure if you got this on iTunes, write a review on iTunes. That'll make me really happy. If you've seen this on a post that I made on Facebook or a forum or something, which is very likely, you can leave your opinion on the forum itself. I don't really have, you know, a website for the Real Game Talk yet, or a website or official Twitter or anything. I decided to just go ahead and do it first. And see what the response is, and then depending on that, you know, I'm probably gonna keep doing it anyway. You know, even if nobody listens to it, I'm probably gonna keep trying for a little longer. But I just don't want to invest so much into making all those, you know, in a way, accessories to the website. You know, all those to the podcast, all those add-ons before I get the podcast fleshed out. You know, so right now my focus is on the podcast. I want to make it really good. I want to make it interesting. I want to make it different. This was a pilot episode. The things may be different on the first legit episode one. You know, I may change the format a little bit. If you guys like this way, I may not change it. And I hope I get better at editing and putting the podcast together at every new episode. I hope I also get better at speaking, because by listening to a few segments, I already noticed that I do stutter a lot, and I do say us and us a lot sometimes. So I'm trying to get better at that. I feel like making this podcast will be a good exercise for me to get better at public speaking and communication in general. So thanks for listening. I love your support. And you can reach me on Twitter at Lima Daniel M. So Lima, L-I-M-A, as you've probably seen on the podcast, Daniel, and M as in Majora's Mask, a game I'm really excited to play again on the 3DS. So that's it. On Twitter, at Lima Daniel M, leave a review on iTunes for the Real Game Talk, and whatever else that you've seen about this podcast. If you want to, you know, if I posted it, I'm probably going to be checking the comments all the time. So feel free to say anything you want to say about it. And thank you so much for your support. Goodbye.